Mine's smaller than yours.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas is all about showing off. This year's event officially gets going this morning, but the gadget bragging has already started. Nokia unveiled a new phone that's 13 millimeters thick. It's supposed to compete with Motorola's Razors and Crazers. TV makers think bigger is better. LG Electronics rolled out a 100-inch flat screen, only to be outdone a few hours later by Sharp. Its new high-def TV is 108 inches. Marketplace's Bob Moon is in Vegas with a preview.
As the world's biggest technology show kicks off, a weekend of sneak previews is already generating lots of buzz here. It's mostly over something industry leaders are calling the connected experience. In his pre-show keynote, Microsoft chief Bill Gates said the software giant is focusing on tying together the growing variety of gadgets and content consumers have to choose from.
Our ambition is to give you connected experiences 24 hours a day. We admit that when you're sleeping, we haven't quite figured out what we're going to do for you there. But the rest of the time, the minute you get in the kitchen, look at that refrigerator, pick up your phone, hear the alarm clock tell you about the traffic, whatever it is, we want you to have the information that you're interested in.
Over the weekend, Microsoft and Ford announced they're teaming up on an in-dash system that controls handheld cell phones and portable music players and lets drivers listen to email read by a computer-generated voice. Connected tech is the theme here, from TVs able to play internet video to live video over cell phones. At the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The president of the European Commission meets with President Bush in Washington today. The main thing on José Manuel Barroso's mind is climate change. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us. Stephen, what can we expect today?
Mr. Barroso will be urging President Bush to join the EU in its fight against climate change in what Barroso is calling a new industrial revolution aimed at cutting greenhouse gas emissions by the European continent by 20%. The full details of this climate change package will be unveiled in Europe on Wednesday.
Now, is this something different than the Kyoto Treaty?
Yes, it goes very much beyond Kyoto because, as I say, they're talking about 20% cuts in emissions. And it's going to be interesting to see what the US reaction to this is. Of course, the US did not ratify the Kyoto Treaty, and Mr. Bush is famously skeptical on the subject of climate change. But Mr. Barroso's aides are saying that Mr. Bush's tone on this issue has changed in recent months. So it'll be interesting.
All right, Stephen, thanks a lot.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Well, investors are hoping to get a January rally started this morning. Last week, the Dow lost 0.5% to 12,398. The S&P 500 was down about the same, but the NASDAQ gained almost 1%. Asian stocks were lower today. Oil bounced back a bit. It's at $56.50 a barrel.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
When Home Depot CEO Bob Nardelli resigned last week, a lot of people were outraged at his severance package, $210 million. It's a lot of money for a CEO whose company struggled badly while he was on the job. Newsweek's Alan Sloan is with us. Alan, why did Home Depot give him so much money?
Because it was in his contract. If you go and just look at his contract and you read the shareholder documents describing what his compensation package was, you came up with pretty much what they announced last week.
So instead of looking at the parachute or the severance package, we should be looking back to when he was hired at Home Depot.
Exactly so. This was at the end of 2000. He was supposed to be a star, and Home Depot loaded up this contract and gave it to him. And now everyone's whining about it. If they didn't like it, they didn't have to give him his contract. And if, when it expired at the end of 2005, they should have changed it.
It seems to me this is kind of like sports. Say, for example, the Red Sox paying $50 million for a Japanese pitcher. I mean, if they didn't pay, someone else would, right?
I think a better example is the coach of the Steelers, who a year ago was a genius, right? They won the Super Bowl. Now suddenly the quarterback racks himself up in the offseason on a motorcycle. The team doesn't make the playoffs, and now there are stories about how he may leave. It's the same thing with these CEOs. When you hire them, they're geniuses, everyone's in love. When there's a problem, nobody remembers that the problem was that you gave him too much when you left him.
But the difference is that in a lot of cases in sports, they give you the money in a bonus structure. So if you perform, then you get the money. And here the case is he didn't perform and he's still getting the money.
I went over this at some length with Paul Hodgson of the Corporate Library, who reads these things for a living. And what he finds striking about this is that most of the incentives in Nardelli's contract had to do with longevity, not performance.
So how does corporate America break this cycle of overpaying CEOs?
Well, it never will. And remember, nobody would be saying a word about this if Home Depot stock had done well. What they care about is the stock has done badly and he got paid.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure, Scott.
Alan Sloan, the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with 4 top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. DukeExecutiveMBA.com.
We talked about the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. These days, all those new gizmos get old pretty quick. So our garbage dumps are filling up with this stuff. Amy Scott tells us about an alternative.
On Sunday, New Yorkers schlepped their old TV sets, monitors, and cell phones to a Manhattan park. Eventually, the junk will be fed to a machine like this. Imagine a 2-story paper shredder that spits out reusable plastic, glass, and scrap metal. The Lower East Side Ecology Center hosts this post-holiday recycling event every year. Christina Dotz Romero is executive director.
There's up to 4 pounds of lead in an average TV. There's also mercury, beryllium, flame retardants.
She says recycling keeps those chemicals out of the soil and water supply. It also gets that 10-year-old monitor out of your garage. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.